Ernie, I'm relieved that that was obviously not a new hymn to these people. Not a new hymn. It's nice to see you together again this evening. Again, I hope you were looking up at that beautiful sky tonight. There are two stars right over in this part of the sky that are just so beautifully bright at about the time we are coming to meeting. Mama, someone reminded me, if it's this spectacular on the bottom side, what must it look like from the top side, right? Now, this evening we want to continue with our studies in the faithfulness of God, and we're going to read very briefly from the Psalms again. Psalm 143. While you're turning there, to say that I learned today that several weeks ago, when my colleague David Glock was here speaking, he asked you to pray. Some of you were here, no doubt, the week that Dave was here speaking, and he asked you to pray about the Christian Ministries seminar that we have at our college earlier in the month of February. And I just wanted to say thank you for praying. I'm grateful for the kind of interest that would bring it up even now. Obviously, you were praying, and we're grateful for that. Just to mention to you that we had a very positive time during this seminar. In this seminar each year, we just suspend classes, and for several days of time, we focus on various aspects of Christian ministries. For example, we had 26 different Christian camps represented there, talking with our students, inviting them to come and participate in summer ministries. Tremendous opportunities. Other ministries that our students were made aware of, the two key speakers during the week were Alex Strock and Floyd Schneider, who presented some very, very stirring ministry to our students. A number of students really responded most positively. A number of the camps felt that they had made some good contacts, and students saying, yes, God willing, I'll be there to work in the summer. Those are good kinds of contacts to make. We like to see our students involved in camp ministries. And it was during that week, as I told you last night, that our concluding discussions with the Schneiders were brought to maturity. And I will look back on this Christian Ministries seminar as a very eventful week in which we and they concluded that the mind of God would be that Floyd would come and join us on our faculty. So some very positive things happened during that Christian Ministries seminar time, and I just wanted to thank you for praying and for all of your prayers in behalf of the ministries at the college. Now this evening, we will read just this opening verse of Psalm 143, not because it's the only good one, but because it is specifically pointed to our subject. David the psalmist writes, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, and answer me in thy faithfulness and thy righteousness." Answer me in thy faithfulness. Father, we're grateful this evening that we can address a subject like this. We need to revel in your faithfulness. We thank you, our Father, that you are a God who is faithful in response to the prayers of his people. Teach us that glorious truth more indelibly tonight, we pray, in the name of our Savior. Amen. I'm glad you came back tonight, because last night was tough plowing. Our subject tonight is not quite as stirring, not quite as difficult personally. It's a wonderful subject. It's a subject, again, that is found all through the pages of Scriptures. The faithfulness of God in his response to prayer. It seems obvious to me, as I think of the matter of God's faithfulness in prayer, that it should be a subject that all of us are interested in, because we all need the help, the blessing, the strength, the cleansing. We all have needs, do we not? Anybody here tonight that has no needs? Don't you dare raise your hand. We are a needy people, aren't we? And as we walk in the presence of our Lord day by day and see ourselves and our needs, and as we bask in the greatness and the faithfulness of our God, prayer is such a natural part of a healthy spiritual life. In fact, if you do not have a prayer life, and I would like tonight to use that expression, because we're talking tonight not just about those occasional, urgent, desperate messages that we shoot out to God, help me, or whatever it is. We're talking tonight about that which really should characterize the life, the spiritual life of a believer whose spiritual life is healthy. And that is a life of prayer. The whole dimension of the life of the believer in which we have communion with God. It may be driving down the highway and you're praying. It may be sitting in your... It may many, many, many dimensions of life in which there is that very natural, very wonderful communion with God. As well as those urgent times when we desperately cry out to God. Or those formal times, like Tuesday morning after the meeting, when we remain behind and have our group prayer sessions. There are all kinds of settings in which the believer will pray. There are all kinds of dimensions of prayer, but in it all, one of the fundamental ingredients that makes it happen, frankly, is the fact that we come to understand that a faithful God hears and answers. And as David prayed to God, he said, "Hear my prayer, give ear to my supplications, and answer me in thy faithfulness." God is faithful. And one of the dimensions of his faithfulness is his answer to our prayer. Now let me remind you again of those ingredients of faithfulness. In order to experience what we call faithfulness, these three things are necessary. First of all, character. Character. Now, of course, when it comes to God, this means his attributes. I don't know of anything that will encourage a believer to a more healthy and full prayer life than to study the attributes of God. Let me put it another way. People who do not know God do not pray. Oh, as I say, they may cry out desperately once in a while. But I'm talking about a life of prayer. I'm talking about a life of communion with God. The biblical, healthy, the pray without ceasing, which is the Word of God's pattern for us. And people who do not know God do not have that kind of prayer life. It is only when we understand who God is and what He is like that we are motivated to prayer. Character is basic to faithfulness. And if I don't know someone, I'm not very inclined to ask of them, right? By the way, if you know someone who is not a person of character, of integrity, you may not ask either because... You know, they may have good intentions, but it won't happen. Integrity, character is necessary. And one of the important dimensions of the Christian's life is to remain a fresh student of Bible doctrine, to repeatedly throughout our lifetime, study and restudy the attributes of God. There is no single thing that will keep your prayer life more keen, more fresh, than a fresh study of the attributes of God. Because when we understand what God is like, we understand His faithfulness, that encourages us to pray. Faithfulness is based upon character. Not only that, faithfulness is based upon commitment. And we need to understand that to which God has committed Himself, lest, as we're going to see in a few minutes, we pray amiss. You know, it's possible to be off target in your prayers. James tells us that. There are other places in the Scriptures. But you see, God's commitments are behind His faithfulness. Let me give you a rather obvious illustration. Do you remember the man Balaam? He was hired to curse Israel. You remember the occasion. We read of it in the Old Testament Scriptures. He got himself up on a high hill overlooking the camp of Israel. He'd been paid a good sum to curse the people of Israel because Balak, this pagan king, was afraid of them. So he hired this man to come and curse Israel. And he stood up on this high mountain, To earn his money, he opened his mouth, and what happened? Out came a blessing. Talk about a frustrated false prophet. He wanted to curse the people of God, and when he opened his mouth, out came a blessing. Out came a blessing. You see, you can't implore God to do something that is contrary to his commitments. And God was not committed to curse his people. What a foolish man he was. You can't con God into doing something that is not in keeping with his character and his commitments. And so when Balaam opened his mouth, instead of a curse, out came a prayer. God overpowered the man's faculties and did the very opposite thing that he wanted to do. Why? Because God will not curse those whom he has blessed. And we understand the character of God if we're going to have a right prayer life. And we have to understand the commitments, the purposes of God if we're to have a right prayer life. The third element of faithfulness is capability. Aha, that's another matter, right? Because there are people of good character with good intentions who have made commitments and end up not being able to fulfill them because for reasons beyond their control, they're just not capable of doing what they fully intended to do and really want to do. When it comes to our God, we find all three of these ingredients in perfection: his character, his commitments, his capability. But I want to illustrate this matter of capability from the book of Ephesians. Turn to chapter 3 and verse 20. We're going to do a shift of mechanics here. And I'm going to go down here and turn on this overhead. And we will kindly, I hope, get the screen down. And just for a few minutes here, just to revel in this interesting passage in the book of Ephesians. Where are we here? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. This is a prayer. In fact, Paul is concluding his prayer with this wonderful statement. Now unto him, he concludes his prayer, who is able. What does that mean? Capability. That's that necessary ingredient of faithfulness. God is able. He is not deaf. He is not blind. He is not limited. He is capable. He is able. But more than that, says the apostle, he is able to do. Get this unstuck here. See? Now, not all abilities involve doing. You may be able to think. But because of certain limitations in your physical body, you just can't get things to work. And you are able to think, but you can't do what you... But God is able to do. To do. He can function. Perfectly. Perfectly. Not only that, says the apostle, he is able to do what we ask. Oh, I like that. Don't you? That's prayer. And he has not only invited us, but he has commanded us to pray. We don't weary him with our asking. Jim was praying this way in the room here this evening, saying, Lord, seems like we come here so often and ask the same things. Bless this meeting. We do it every morning and every night just before this meeting. But we do that because we know that God delights to. He has told us to ask. And he is able to do what we ask. He commands and he invites our prayers. He is able to do what we ask. But more than that, says Paul, he is able to do all that we ask. I'm one of those tinkers. One of those jack of all trades, master of none. You see, I love to tinker. I do carpentry, I do electrical work, I do plumbing. And there are times I think when my kids think I can do just about it. Dad, I need a deck built in the back of the house. Or, Dad, I got to tuck point that chimney. Can you do it? But the fact of the matter is, I delight in working with my hands, and I delight in helping my kids. But the fact of the matter is, I can't do all of that. There are certain things that I just can't do. Either I don't have the skills, or I don't have the equipment, or I don't have the time, or something. But God can do all. A-L-L. Look at your Bible. Does it say that? All that we ask. Notice he not only says that, he is able to do all that we ask or think. Wow! This is getting pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. There have been times when things have come to my mind that I would say, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? And frankly, I don't have the audacity to even ask. But it's there. It's there. But the apostle says God is not only able to do all that we ask, but he is able to all that we ask or even what we think. Not only that, Paul says he is able to do beyond. Check your Bible. It's there. He is able to do beyond all that we ask or think. All right. This is getting a little bit too big for me. My mind, I'm not sure my mind can go here because he's beyond my thoughts now. Not only what I ask, but what I can think. And he's able to do beyond that. That star up there, the big bright one, he keeps it there. I've never asked him to do that. Frankly, I've never thought of asking him to do that. But he does it. And that's only one of an infinite number of things that he does. He can do beyond all that I ask or even think. Well, it gets better. He is able to do abundantly. Now we're really in trouble, right? He is able to do abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. And lest I weary you with this awesome thing, he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Now how do you handle that, folks? What does that do to you? Jack, can you run this up again, please? What does that do to you? I hope it thrills you. I hope it stretches your mind and your spirit to realize that our God is able. Our God is able. And because of his character, because of his commitments, and because of his capability, he is faithful to answer our prayers. Now, I'd like to do something for a couple of minutes here that is risky for me. And I've fought over this, fought with myself, whether I should do this, because it's personal. But I'd like to just take a couple of minutes to tell you some stories. I'm not a storytelling preacher, but I would like to illustrate in a very personal way some of the lessons that I've learned about God's faithfulness in answer to prayer. Can I do that? You abide some stories? I'll go way back when our family was young. I was teaching at Emmaus and working very, very hard to pour my life and to pour God's truth into the lives of students, and a lot of things going on there, but there are ministries beyond the college, and got an invitation to speak at a conference up in the east in the Boston area. And as the time got closer, all of the wheels were turning. You know, you not only have to do all of your work at home, but you have to get ready for these ministries here and there and preparation. And then the time came to go to the east, and the kids were sick. And so I left Martha at home with sick children. Not too fun. And frankly, and I squirm to tell you this, by the time we had bought their medicine and by the time I bought my plane ticket, there was virtually nothing left in the till. So I went to the East to the conference over the weekend, preached my heart out for the weekend, got on the plane and came home, and I think I was halfway home and I realized that I had received no fellowship. I suppose somebody, there was some valid oversight or something. I had received no fellowship, no reimbursement for the plane ticket. Wondering what I was going to say when I got home. But got home and the kids were some better, but they needed another round of medication we were going to have to get in the morning. And I remember we tucked the kids in bed late that night, and Martha turned in, and I sat in the kitchen. It's tape, struggling with God. Times like that, I tend to think, Lord, am I not carrying my weight? Should I be working harder? You know, there are a lot of things that go through your mind when the chips are down. And I was praying, Lord, we need your help. We need your help. And while I was praying, a thought, a recollection came to my mind. And I remembered that at the end of the last meeting up at the conference, while I was talking with someone, a man walked by and stuffed something in my pocket. So I went back upstairs, didn't turn the light on, didn't want to disturb Martha, rummaged around in the dark in my suit pocket, and sure enough, there was a piece of paper in the pocket. So I carried back down in the light of the kitchen. I saw it was a check. Looked at it, $15 check. I laid it down and sat down again to pray. And I confess, I'm telling you my weakness and humanness here. I struggled. Because I knew that the trip to get the medicine tomorrow morning was going to eat up that $15. And then what? And the mixed emotion of thanks and of human anxiety. And so I prayed some more. And while I was desperately praying with God, I fumbled with this check and looked again and realized that it wasn't a check for $15, it was a check for $150. The windows of heaven had opened 36 hours earlier, and I didn't even know it. And that God had answered my prayers of desperation before I even spoke them. And I didn't even know it. I remember one time in the college, very shortly after I assumed the awesome responsibility of presiding over that ministry, we were in tough, tough straits. In fact, so much so that my business manager told me early in the morning, I don't think we're going to make a payroll, and there's very, very little to distribute to the faculty. That's not good. In fact, it was so urgent that at chapel time, I said we're going to extend this chapel and have a special prayer session. While we were praying, the secretary came and asked me to come out. He said, you have a phone call. I sat down, picked up the phone, and a man on the other end of the line told me, he said, can you have lunch with me today? I said, well, yes, I think I could have lunch with you today. Well, he said, I've got a check for $25,000 in my hand for the college. And he said, I just wanted to deliver it personally and thought we would have lunch together while I bring it. I'm going to tell you, when I went back in and interrupted that prayer meeting with that news, there was great praise to God. You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. He has the character, He has the commitment to His people, and He has the capability. God is able. Now, in this context, if we had time, it would be well for us to review all those wonderful biblical ingredients of prayer. Because of course, this becomes an important aspect of the Christian life. Prayer is no peripheral issue. Prayer is central to the Christian life. It is basic to the health of your spirit to commune with God in many ways, in many issues. And the Bible has a lot to say. This passage that we have looked at here in Psalm 143 has to do with supplications. David says, "Give ear to my supplications." This is only one form of prayer, but what is supplication? Well, supplication is perhaps, as one writer put it, the most primitive form of prayer. It's the kind of thing that even the pagans do. They ask for something. That's what it means to supplicate. To ask God for something. Some need, some problem, you ask God. That is supplication. And it's one of the important forms of prayer. I think that there are many, many ways in which the people of God learn that in our weakness, in our needs, in the crises of life, we ask. In fact, the scriptures say that we may come boldly to the throne of grace and there find grace to help when everything's going good, but don't trouble him when you're in a... No. We may find grace to help when? In time of need. So you see, it's not wrong to come to God and cry out to God when you're in trouble, when you're hurting, when you have need. That's not wrong. It's one of the basic forms of prayer. David says, "Give ear to my supplications." He had something he needed to ask for. And he came without apology and cried out to God and asked God to answer in his faithfulness. Sometimes in the scriptures we see the prayer of confession. As John says, if we confess our sins, obviously to God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's another form of prayer, and often needed as we find defilement along the way, as the Spirit of God makes us aware of sin in our lives, not to get saved, no, the relationship is already there, but to maintain that fellowship with our Heavenly Father, he tells us that we need to confess known sin to him. It's one form of prayer. And God is faithful, and he cleanses and forgives when we confess. Sometimes, the Bible says, it's intercessory prayer that's important. And how many times in the scriptures we see intercessory prayer? That is, one person asking God in behalf of someone else. It's sort of the opposite of supplication. Supplication is asking God for myself, for my needs, for my problems, my crises. Intercession is praying to God in behalf of someone else. And we find many, many, many instances of that. We find, for example, the dramatic incident of the man of faith, Abraham, standing in the presence of the Lord, pleading for his nephew Lot down there in Sodom. "Lord, if you find 50 righteous people down in that city, will you spare it, please?" Yes. "How about 45? Yes. How about 40? Yes. How about 30? Yes. And we find Abraham in an intercessory prayer. And we find the nodding God saying, "Yes, yes, yes." In fact, God never said no. Why Abraham stopped at 10, I don't know. God never said no. Check your Bible. We find in the New Testament, Romans 15, Paul asking the Romans, Pray for me, because where I am going, there are unreasonable people. There's danger there, and I'm going to present the gospel. Pray for me." Intercessory prayer. Sometimes prayer is giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. In fact, the Bible tells us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In fact, the Bible says all of your prayers should be salted down with, seasoned with thanksgiving. As he said to the Philippians, "Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving," the prayer of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's praise. It's honoring God and extolling our God for the greatness of his character and the wonders of his works. Praise is a form of prayer. Sometimes we're in worship. We're in worship. And we hear what Jude has to say. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before. Unto him, the only wise God, our Savior. Now think of that. He starts by acknowledging that God is able, and he ends up with a great anthem of worship. Worship. You see, there are many forms of prayer, and all should characterize the life of the believer. I am convinced that if you and I were spiritually healthy, and our relationship with the living God was as it should be, that every form of prayer would be a part of our lives during a few days or a week of time. It should all be there. The outflow of our hearts, the communion of our hearts with God, all motivated by the knowledge that God is faithful. If we would doubt his character, if we would doubt his commitment, if we would doubt his capability, we wouldn't pray. Would we? But God is faithful. And he's proven it again and again. In a right study of prayer, we would have to talk about authority in prayer. And maybe you need to think through this from time to time, because it's very easy, I think, for us to become a little bit accustomed or calloused. You know the old expression, familiarity breeds contempt. And I think that can be true of our prayer life as well. As the Old Testament poet said, God is in heaven and you on earth. So when you speak to him, watch how you speak. I've heard prayers that are so flippant, it troubles me. I've heard prayers that are so casual that I wonder, don't you know that God is in heaven and you are on earth? You wouldn't talk to the President of the United States that way. How do you think you'd get by with talking to God like that? See? The basis of our praying and the authority of prayer. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name. Aha. The writer of the Hebrews tells us we have access by the blood of Jesus. That's our authority. You see, unaided, we would have no audience with God. Unaided, we would have no claim upon him. You know that. But we do have access. We do have a basis. We do have authority in prayer. We come by that new and living way, by the blood of Jesus. We come in the name of Jesus. We know that we have an advocate with the Father, or as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, even when we are so hurting and struggling in prayer that we don't know how to put it in words, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that we never hear or understand. Oh, this business of prayer is glorious business. Even when we are so mumbling and so tongue-tied and so bound up in our dress and emotion. Maybe you've never been there, but I have. And I am so grateful that there is a name that makes things happen in heaven. And that's the name of Jesus. There is a path into the presence of God, paved, as it were, by the shed blood of my Savior. And there is an advocate there. And there is an advocate here within. And even when I'm so hurting, even when you're so distressed that we really even don't know how to pray, he, our faithful God, does for us what we desperate human beings can't even do for ourselves. the name of Jesus, our authority in prayer. Then we were going to study prayer, we'd have to consider the principles of prayer. Oh, and there are a number. Let me just quickly mention a few. The very fact that we pray in the will of God. Remember the matter of commitment? You see, people who don't know the Bible and don't know God don't understand prayer. People who think they can con God into just about anything don't know God. Mm-mm. That was Balaam's trouble, you remember? He thought he could get God to curse that people of Israel. Oh, no way. No way. Why? Because God's commitment was to bless them. And if you don't know God, you don't know His character and His commitments. If you're not praying within His will, I hate to say it, but you may end up like Balaam, just frustrated and confused. And wondering why God doesn't answer. He's not your puppet. He's not a genie in a bottle that comes puffing out to do whatever your, as James says, your misdirected desires may want. There are some important principles in prayer that the Scriptures give us. The condition of our lives. John says if you're abiding in Christ, if you're walking with Him, it makes all the difference in your prayer life. The condition of your life spiritually. We read in the Scriptures that there is a matter of urgency in prayer. And of course our Lord Jesus taught us that there is the matter of simplicity in prayer. It's not like the pagans. You know, the pagans do a lot of praying. And I see some of these pagan shrines and you know, I was looking at one from, where was it? Over in Bangkok. My goodness, the wonder place didn't burn down. There was so much burning in there. And then outside there was somebody turning a prayer wheel. It was very impressive looking. But Jesus said, we're not heard for our much speaking. Boy, if we wanted to do it, we could find something electronic to pray for us. And spin off a million prayers an hour or something like that. I'm sure we could find a computer that could somehow or another spit out a million prayers an hour. No. The Bible talks about simplicity in prayer. Jesus said, just go in your closet and shut the door and ask. It's pretty simple, folks. That's pretty simple. See? Oh, there are a lot of important principles of prayer that we need to understand. And it's a wonderful thing, this study of prayer. And I'm just sort of bouncing through the highlights here for a few moments this evening as we ponder the fact that when you consider the faithfulness of God, His character, His commitment, and His capability, you come right out where David was and saying, and Lord, I have some needs. Hear my supplications. And Lord, answer me in thy faithfulness. If we understood the faithfulness of God, His character, His commitments, and His capability, our prayer lives would be different. It would be different. And prayer would be that wonderful dimension of the Christian life, which it should be, in which we commune with God in all kinds of circumstances, in all kinds of issues. Pray, as the New Testament says, without ceasing. How could a person ever come to that point in their life? If they understand the faithfulness of God. If we understood His character and His commitments and His capability, our prayer lives would be different. That's a challenge, fellow believer. That's a challenge. Oh God, we thank You tonight that You are a God who is faithful. Your faithfulness extends in so many dimensions of that which You have revealed. We thank You, O God, that in your character, your attributes, in your commitments, your covenants, your promises, and in your capability, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above, beyond all that we can even ask or think. And in the face of that, Father, we stand ashamed at how little we pray, at how much we miss the peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Not just how to pray, although we need to learn that too, but teach us to pray. Teach us your great faithfulness. Answer us in your faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.